It is easier for us to fantasize about dying a martyr's death, to think about how if it came down to it, we would give our life for the gospel. We would sacrifice all. I think it's easier to fantasize about that than it actually is to sacrifice our time and our money and our pleasure and our comfort in the daily and weekly grind of the life as a church.
You're listening to the Holy Joys Sermon Podcast. Visit us at holyjoys.org to find more resources for a holy, happy church.
We've come to one of my favorite parts of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Beginning here in verse 19 of chapter 2, Paul writes of his desire to send Timothy and Epaphroditus to the church in Philippi. And one of the reasons why I like this passage is because it's one of those passages that we might be tempted to just kind of breeze through. I mean, this is old news. Paul's telling a church 2,000 years ago that he's going to send a couple of guys that we barely know. And so we might just skim through this, but there is so much more that is going on here in these verses. Paul has just come down from the glory-filled mountain of the Christ hymn that exalted him at the beginning of chapter 2. And on his way down with shining face, having been in the glory of God and of Christ, he exhorts them to follow Christ's example of obedience, to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. And now at the bottom of the mountain, having come down from that glorious mountain of the Christ hymn, he sets before them two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, as if to say, here are two men who practice what I've been preaching. Here are two men who truly serve, who truly look to the interests of others. Follow them as they follow Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. You're going to be seated for a few minutes, so I'll have you stand for the reading of God's word here in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. This is the word of the Lord. If you have a handout this morning, there's a chart at the top. I'd encourage you to look at that at some point. Take that home, study that. And in keeping with our Wednesday nights on getting more out of your Bible reading, I've included at the end of the handout this morning some things that you can do through the week to study this passage more and its connections to the Christ hymn. But in this passage, Paul speaks of seeking the interests of Jesus Christ, being genuinely concerned for your welfare, serving, ministering, being distressed because they heard, nearly dying, being near to death, being in service to me. And all of these are allusions back to Christ, who did not seek his own interests, but was genuinely concerned for sorry sinners like us. He came to serve, not to be served. He went to the point of death in his service to us. And while Paul hopes in part to send Timothy to the Philippians that he might be encouraged by good news about them, while Paul genuinely cares about what's going on at Philippi and is hopeful that it will bring him happiness in prison, Paul is also hoping that the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus will inspire the Philippians to practice what he's been preaching. You know, we need the example of Christ. He, the great example, is and pattern for me. But 2,000 years later, we also need examples in the church. People who have lived the Christian life and who have embodied these principles and shown us what it looks like to be like Jesus in the 21st century. I've been referring throughout this series to Martin Luther's book, On the Freedom of a Christian. It's a short but a powerful read, and I have a copy out there on the book rack in the vestibule if you want to sign out a copy. I think I might have stole it from my own prep. I couldn't find my own copy, but I'll put it out there if you want to sign it out. But here's what Luther says. He says this: each of us should become a Christ to the other. And as we are Christs to one another, the result is that Christ fills us all, and we become a truly Christian community. We are Christs to one another and act toward our neighbors as Christ has acted toward us. I think C.S. Lewis was drawing from Luther in his book Mere Christianity when he said something very similar. He said, every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. Every Christian is to become a little Christ. Timothy and Epaphroditus were little Christs for the church at Philippi. They were living, breathing examples of what it means to be a truly Christ-like person. And they teach us still today at least two things about what it means to be a Christ-like servant. First of all, Timothy shows us that a Christ-like servant genuinely cares about the things that Jesus cares about. A Christ-like servant genuinely cares about the things that Jesus cares about. What do you care about? What drives you? What gets you up in the morning? Maybe because you have to. Maybe coffee. Maybe we should ask a different question. What gets you excited? What do you care about? Is it the things that Jesus cares about? Paul told the Philippians, I have no one like Timothy who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. I try to include sometimes in my preaching little tips, strategies for being better, a better Bible reader, even though we're talking about that at length on Wednesday nights. And here's one. Try reading a passage of scripture aloud with different tones. Okay, so here's an example. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. An angry tone. Maybe Paul's just frustrated at his companions. But what about this? For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Broken. Here's this old apostle Paul. He's in his prison cell at the end of his life, singing about he's poured himself into men, women, mentored them. And he's saying, Timothy alone, can I look at and say, he really gets it. He really has the interests of Christ at heart. Our Savior looked to the interests of others, and it took him all the way to the cross. Yet Paul says, they all seek their own interests. It's a sad statement. I like what John Wesley commented. He says this, they all seek their own ease or comfort, safety, pleasure, or profit. This is what Wesley says. Amazing! In that golden age of the church, could St. Paul thoroughly approve of only one among all the laborers who were with him? Even in St. Paul's day, it was a rare thing to find a person who genuinely, deeply cared about the things that Jesus cares about. That meant a lonely road for the Pauls and Timothys of the world. Wesley goes on to say that those who genuinely care about what Christ cares about, those who are truly given over to the work of the Lord, will sadly experience what Paul experienced. They will find few helpers like-minded with themselves, willing naked to follow a naked master. I'm grateful for men and women in this church who really do care about the things of the Lord. As I was preparing this, I was thinking about how this doesn't apply to so many, right? We have so many people who serve and who give, and so it's not an impugnment on anyone, but it's just a reminder that so many times in the church world, we fall into the same trap that people fall into in the world, don't we? Life is busy. Life is hectic. We've got a lot of responsibilities, and we get caught up seeking our own interests. We get more concerned about what we want than what Jesus wants for us. As I think back over my years of pastoral ministry, I can think of names and faces. I know Lexi can too. Of people who heard the word, they responded well. I had high hopes for them. But as they went on their way, they were choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit did not mature. Ease, safety, pleasure, or profit became their undoing. Most people in the church, Paul says, are too busy chasing their own interests to make a serious investment in the work of the Lord, more concerned about what they want than what Christ wants for them. But not Timothy. Not Timothy. Paul took joy in remembering his faithful companion. You know Timothy's proven worth. How as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Timothy was the kind of person that Paul could count on. He could count on him to take the form of a servant in every situation. Paul could count on him to show up, to give of his time and his energy and his resources to the church, not so that Timothy could do his good deed for the day, not to gain recognition, not to put other people in his debt. But Timothy did this because he had genuine concern, genuine love for Jesus and his people. You know, you can make an effort to change your behavior, and sometimes your affections will follow. But the thing that sustains us in the daily and the weekly grind of our life together as a church is a genuine love that Jesus pours into our heart by the Holy Spirit, a concern for what God wants and for Jesus' glory and his name among the nations. We need more Timothys in our day, people who are genuinely concerned for the welfare of God's people. People who will break free from the bondage of self-interest and take up the cross of caring for the interests of others. The example of Jesus is powerful, but we also need little Christs, people in our own day, people who can show the church and the world what it looks like to be a Christ-like servant in the 21st century. We need more Timothy. Secondly, Epaphroditus shows us that a Christ-like servant gladly sacrifices for the things that Jesus cares about. Paul calls Epaphroditus my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. This theme runs through Philippians. We're servants together for the gospel. The church goes forward as God's people strive side by side, Paul says in chapter 1, for the faith of the gospel, united by their partnership in the gospel. The Philippians knew well who Epaphroditus was. He was a member of their church. They had sent him first to Paul. They sent him to Paul in prison to give him a gift. But Epaphroditus had come down with a serious illness and nearly died. I was reading the notes of John Chrysostom, who's widely recognized as the greatest preacher to ever live. Chrysostom literally means golden mouthed. And Chrysostom, I think, seems to think here that Epaphroditus came down with this illness in the prison. Paul seems to be implying here that his sickness and near-death experience was a direct result of his ministry. And so it could be that Paul himself was very sick. It could be that just in the prison conditions of that time, you know, illness was rampant and nobody else had the courage to go in to Paul and risk illness, but Epaphroditus did, and he nearly died in his service to Paul. And Paul writes to reassure the Philippians that Epaphroditus is okay, that God has graciously spared him, and that Paul is now going to send him back for their joy. But here's the key point. Paul's description of Epaphroditus once again alludes back to the Christ hymn. In verse 30, Paul says that Epaphroditus nearly died for the work of Christ. And the Greek phrase there is identical to the Greek phrase in verse 8, which says that Christ went to the point of death. So nearly died could be translated that Epaphroditus went to the point of death. Now we know that Epaphroditus didn't cross over into death. Jesus did. But the Greek phrase is identical. Paul is intentionally wrapping Epaphroditus in the language of Christ. He's a little Christ. He's someone who is willing to minister to the needs of others, even at great cost to himself. Epaphroditus' sacrificial service arose from the same genuine care and concern that Timothy had. We see that Epaphroditus is this kind of person, a person who has a genuine concern for God's church because he's longing for his church family at Philippi, and he's distressed because they heard that he was ill. So Epaphroditus didn't even want his church family back home to be anxious about his illness. He wasn't looking to get recognition. Look at me. Look at what I've gone through. Look at what a great servant I am. I'm willing to go to death. But no, he was humble. His concern was still focused on others, and he didn't want them to be anxious. And so he was willing to give sacrificially. You know, as I prepared this, this is what I kept coming back to. Most of us will just never be in a situation like that. Most of us will never get to the point where we have to risk our life for the gospel of Jesus. It's very unlikely. It could happen, but it's pretty unlikely that we're going to have to actually die or risk death as martyrs for the sake of Jesus Christ. But every week, we are faced with other decisions. Will we sacrifice our time? We might not need to sacrifice our life, but will we sacrifice our time? Will we sacrifice ease, comfort, safety, pleasure, and profit? Will we sacrifice our money? Will we sacrifice our rights, what we think we deserve? Or our preferences, what we think would be best, what we would like most? And if not, why do we so often think that we would sacrifice our lives? You know, it's funny, little boys like to fantasize about being at war, which war is a horrible thing, but you know, little boys like to fantasize about going over and in the bullets and the bombs. But then they get out on the playground and they get a little scratch and their tears are running down their face and they can't handle the little scratch, or their sister or their brother said a mean word to them and they're upset about it. You know, it's how Adam can be. And I think as Christians, it is easier for us to fantasize about dying a martyr's death. To think about how if it came down to it, we would give our life for the gospel. We would sacrifice all. I think it's easier to fantasize about that than it actually is to sacrifice our time and our money and our pleasure and our comfort in the daily and weekly grind of the life as a church. Will we see a member who is lonely and be the one to reach out to them and invite them over for a meal? When we see a member who is sinning, will we be the one to pray for them and ask God for wisdom to speak into their life? When we see a neighbor who is struggling, will we be the one to give them a call or make them a meal? When we see a need in the church, will we be the one to step up and do our best to meet it? Will we be the one, or will we wait for someone else? Will we be like Timothy and Epaphroditus? Or will we be like those who Paul said are too caught up in self-interest? Those are the kind of choices that we're faced with every week. And a Christ-like servant gladly sacrifices for the things that Jesus cares about. If we genuinely care about the things that Jesus cares about, then we will gladly sacrifice for the things that Jesus cares about. Let's be Christ-like servants. Let's be like Timothy and Epaphroditus. Let's be Christ to one another. And as we're Christ to one another, we will become a truly Christ-like community. I want my life to count for Jesus, for earthly things will quickly fade. No need to add to worldly riches. I only seek eternal gain. Let's stand together and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son to show us the way of a servant. Help us to follow him like Timothy and Epaphroditus, by looking not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. Fill us with genuine concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and give us grace to joyfully sacrifice for your work in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Holy Joy Sermon Podcast. Our labors for a holy, happy church are supported by generous listeners like you. Please pray about partnering with us at holyjoys.org/donate.